bow, bow. And what you just heard is not the sound of Jimmy Del Piazzi's horrible horn playing. It was
Thank you, Joey.
It was my horrible tone deaf
horn.
You know what's good about knowing that you're tone deaf?
I have no idea. Well,
you don't know.
Be good about that.
But I'm going to tell you what's good about it. When I was, I'm going to introduce our guest in 1 second after this quick story. When I was in middle school and high school, I participated in the school plays. And every single time I was cast as the tree or something in the,
as big
I could do the least damage as possible because I was tone deaf, could not sing.
Oh my goodness.
Not a great dancer, not a terrible dancer, but particularly bad at singing.
Right.
Like really, really bad. And what's great is my daughter, Madeline, said to me, we were talking about she would be a great actor, but as far as singing, she recognized that everyone in our family is are terrible singing voices. But I'm glad that she is self-aware enough to know that we are not singers.
Well, look, just don't, you know, remind her all the time, because that can be hurtful. When people remind you all the time that you're not a very good singer.
Pat is staring at Jimmy right now. The death stare.
Yeah.
The Vunja face and the that was like, that was similar to the honeycomb stare is what she was just giving you.
Yeah. The eye.
I want to introduce our guest, and I got another story quickly. Pat and Jimmy Del Piazza here.
Yeah.
Good morning.
And Kim is here with us.
Good morning.
So, another story is we had a honeycomb stare situation yesterday at Sandpiper Bakery that backfired on me.
Uh-oh. Oh, really?
Backfired.
How so?
We got there around 10:15, and on the board, they had a breakfast sandwich that sounded really delicious, and I asked if I could have for the breakfast sandwich, and the guy said, "We don't make those till 11."
Make the breakfast sandwich until 11?
I mean, it was bread, a couple pieces of ham, and whatever spread that they put on there. Hey, Ed.
Hello.
Ed Collie just walked in.
Oh my
God!
Is it bacon?
Bacon and ribs.
Bacon and ribs. Oh, my God.
Nice.
I'll put this right here. Oh. Eric Lord coming through. Ed, the delivery man.
Wow.
That is awesome.
Is this made by Eric?
Made by Eric.
Gosh.
Nice.
So
awesome.
So anyway, I kind of gave the guy the long, awkward pause, like, are you serious? You can't put together? You're cutting bread all day, you know what I mean? You can't put a slice in the bread, put the ham on the bread, and then they're not until 11. But, you know, a little bit, maybe like 5 or 6 second awkward, like eye-to-eye, you know, honeycomb stare, Sandpiper Bakery stare now.
Right, in, right.
In the case.
And what happened?
So we sat back down, we ordered, there's five of us, we ordered quite a bit worth of,
right.
Excellent, their bakery is really excellent.
Delicious things.
Great scone. Great chocolate chip cookies.
Chocolate croissant. The best croissant, I think, is their almond croissant. And then they also have an almond chocolate croissant.
Oh, my God.
That's a win.
Yeah, that's
so,
a win.
So we sat down, and Madeline, it was her idea. She goes, Dad, I think I should go up and should I give him the honeycomb stare and ask her for the sandwich? And it was... This is about 10 minutes had passed since I went up there.
Right.
And she patiently sat in line, and she got there. And we were ready to leave, but we were all, like, on the edge of our seat to watch the awkward... Because she was going
to
give the guy the honeycomb stare.
And who
the long,
take
awkward
that
stare when he denied her.
Yeah.
And he told her she could have the sandwich.
Love it. Well, who could resist that sweet face?
So now I had to wait till we were all ready to leave, and it backfired, and I had to wait for 10 more minutes to get my sandwich. The sandwich was great, but it was
funny.
It was a fun little scene there. But Sandpiper Bakery is doing good work.
Yeah, we love that.
You know what? I discovered yesterday too. They have guest roasters, guest coffee roasters there.
Oh, really?
On a rotating basis.
Oh, that sounds.
Which I've never heard of.
Right.
I love thank you, ideas. Pat and Jimmy, for my Happy
You're
Belly
welcome.
Coffee. Love.
The way to start the day.
Ahead of time, who the roasters are going to be?
It's on the board. They have a board. They have like the chalkboard with who is the roasters.
Huh. Yeah, what a good idea.
If they have it online, it'd be, you know, be interesting.
Yeah. Very
Especially
cool.
if you want to follow a roaster, you know.
Yeah.
Or pick up new beans for yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Gloucester Joe's is, you know, I thought that Gloucester Joe's fell off the map because we hadn't heard from them for a long time. Pauline is carrying Gloucester Joe's coffee.
I saw it there, and I saw it someplace else that we were.
Was it at the cave? Because the cave used to carry it.
I don't think so.
I haven't heard from Misty or Larry in a while.
But I thought the same thing because I hadn't seen or heard about it.
Because they were,
and I wondered.
They were really big on social media. You couldn't go on social media without seeing them posting something.
It wasn't yesterday. It was. It'll come. But I did see it somewhere else, and I thought, oh, good. Glad to see it.
Okay, I need to mention our Cape Ann Community Cinema. They sponsor the podcast as far as giving two tickets to a person who shares the podcast on Facebook. This week's winner is Jen Cullen, our friend Jen Cullen.
Oh, Jen
it's two tickets.
Very good.
Tickets to Cape Ann Community Cinema. So I have to get those to her. She ordered a couple calendars, so I gotta give.
Did your calendar sell out?
No, there's six left.
Oh.
But it's only been since Thursday.
Right, that's amazing.
You know what I think? Like the people that there were a ton of repeat orders from last year.
Yeah.
So the people whoever got them last year, like they recognize.
I like the size is a really good size to just sit on your desk and the presentation with how it stands up. That's perfect.
And it's isn't it as far as a gift?
Yeah.
Like
to
have to
just
stash
little,
that in your purse or have it in your glove compartment because for that inevitable awkward
There's
situation,
always
when
that.
Someone gives you a gift. But not only that, like teachers' gifts. You guys were teachers.
Yeah.
Jimmy and Pat were teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I imagine that the music teacher didn't get many gifts.
Oh, contrary.
Oh, he got him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, did I.
The music teacher is so beloved. I'm sure you got
Well, you know, not saying anything, but when that movie Mr. Holland's Opus came out.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, everyone.
Recognized.
Back to that because, and I can relate to that because my district was like that. I came into a situation like that. But, people were very good. Families.
Yeah.
Very appreciative because you take care of some of the kids and sometimes do some things.
And there's kids, and also I think kids who are involved in music are oftentimes, they're very bright, but they could also have, music could be like something that they can excel at where they may not in other areas. And so to have somebody like you with them under your wing, I'm sure you provide a wonderful
I was also a coach too, so
That's a double win.
Yeah,
that's a
double win. So, yes, we got a lot of gifts, and she got a fair amount.
Teachers really appreciate gifts, don't they?
They do, yes.
It's
they
nice
like
to know that
they're recognized. We taught high school, so that's a little different. Elementary is a different a different animal altogether.
Then, because in elementary school, I think it's a thing where you really give your teacher a gift. But I think the kids get older. It isn't necessarily.
Right. It's a little bit different.
It's a little bit different.
It means, I don't know, to us it meant a lot, especially from the high school kids. Because usually that meant they did it on their own.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
You know, and mom and dad weren't doing it for them, which is always wonderful, but.
Right. No, that's very.
So, the calendars. I mean, the size.
That's a really nice.
Because, like, especially
one,
little kids, like grade school and middle school, like, to.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have
That's
to lug some
gift.
Big present in.
Right.
You can stick it in their backpack, and the kid
and
hands
the
it to the teacher.
Probably going to use it.
They're going to use it.
I had a desk, and my desk was right. I was right in the band room. I wasn't the one that had the office on the side, and they all knew it. So that's where I've been doing my music. I live out of there doing all my show planning and stuff. So any gift I got, a lot of that, it was there because the kids would see it. And that was big for me. I wanted the kids to see I'm using it, not like, thank you, and it went over to the side. So calendars like that.
Yeah.
You know,
by far.
We're not talking about how beautiful the photos are.
Right.
Either.
Oh, I know.
So, yes, I mean,
your photos are gorgeous.
It takes a little while to like edit the sizes
thing.
For the calendar to make sure they fit
in.
It's a little tricky.
The way that you want them in there.
But, you know, I keep up. After last year, digging through a million photos, this year I was smart enough to have a little folder
that
when I took
idea.
One that I thought would be good for it,
I
just
smart.
Stuck
it
stuck
in.
It so in I
there.
Didn't have to dig as
yeah,
much as I did
much
the previous
idea.
Years.
Yeah, very smart.
Because I do calendars for my family.
Oh, yeah?
And that's a problem. Going through the past year and digging through it. Like, I know I have this one, you know, whatever. But you know, and it takes me to I do the folder, but I don't do it until it's, you know, time to do the calendar. So it'd be much smarter to do it throughout the year.
So there's I got a link if anybody wants to buy one. There'll be a link in the because there's six left. I'm thinking about the hats sold out in 2 days.
Yeah, they went quick.
So if I'm thinking about getting like another dozen made. Because if people want them, if people want them, just let me know and I'll put in another order for like a dozen or so.
I don't think you're gonna get stuck with them.
It's not even December yet.
It's not even December,
right?
Yeah, I know. All right, maybe I will. Maybe I'll order another dozen. So that was great. Yesterday, Pat and Jimmy, a big time Gloucester day. I was only downtown for a little bit, but I want you to go through. This is an example of holiday time in Gloucester, and we had perfect weather.
It was the perfect day for.
It was gorgeous.
Oh, it was gorgeous. I woke up early because the sun came up, and in our new place, it comes up right to. Oh, it's a really pretty spot where the sun comes up. Anyway, we got an early start. So we went out and went right down to the lobster trap tree set up right around 9 and. Looked at what they were doing, and mostly at that point they were kind of standing around, you know, sort of talking to each other, figuring things out, waiting for other people to show up and stuff like that. And many of the stores weren't open yet. So we went up to Morning Glory to have a late breakfast, and well, late for us, I guess. And it was great in there. They were surprised at how quiet it was. I was a little surprised too when I walked in. I was expecting
it's usually very busy there.
It's a Saturday morning.
Yeah,
I thought it would be very busy. Had our breakfast, which was great as always. They're so friendly in there, and looking out at the boulevard and the water, it was just, oh my God, it was gorgeous.
What I really like is I pulled in by the Cape Ann Brewery, the parking there, and there were so many parking spaces. I told my wife I was seriously thinking about parking sideways just because I could. I parked there and I said,
"That's a good spot to walk from."
I
just
said,
about
"This
everywhere.
Is it.
Yeah.
We're going to walk from here." So we
idea.
Walked up and walked up up this the main drag, and then we came up one of the side roads. And even though stores weren't open yet, a lot of people were there setting up.
You know,
for the signs. So they're putting their ribbons out, small business Saturday. They're putting things in the window. So I thought that was so cool that, you know, if with the music theme, cue the music. You know, you put a little Christmas music or something, and here's these guys scurrying around, sitting up their house. And while I'm watching some of the workers come in early with their coffee, and they get to the door, and they say, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. We got to get this done." We went into one store, the florist store that was on
Sage Floral.
We went down there, and they were setting up outside and inside.
Wow.
And we were walking around that, and they kept apologizing to us 100 times. "Oh, we're so sorry. I know you're looking at this. We'll move this out of your way." We're going, "Come on, you're setting up."
Everybody was
in
a good mood.
Oh.
The sun was shining.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, we went into the hardware store.
Yeah.
We went into the floral store. We went into Design of Mine, which is where the old
it's down at the other end.
Yes,
yeah, it's
at
the opposite end.
Yeah.
Right.
Near
where Cafe Bouchetka, how do you say it?
Bichu?
Bisteca. It's right down there.
It's next to Virgilio's almost.
Oh, so that's in the West End.
It used to be the TVH.
Right, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I kept saying
that. What type of goods did they sell there?
She's got lots of shawl-type things.
They're called flutter scarves.
Right.
So they're basically like a rectangle with a hole cut out, and mm-hmm. but they're in soft materials, and they drape in a fluttery
right.
type of way.
So they're filling the void that
yes, I would say
that
so.
Pakistan.
And there's some jewelry in there, yeah. and it was great because it was 20%. Almost all the stores had some special mm-hmm. discount, and I bought a scarf for my friend who doesn't listen to the podcast, so it won't be a big problem.
do you know who owns this store? It's Melissa Giacalone, Paul Giacalone's ex-wife. Do you know Melissa?
Paul Giacalone is the guy with 90 plus cigars?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's his, and they're still friends, you know what I mean?
Oh,
but
good.
Yeah. So it's his former wife's shop, Melissa.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So there was a discount and a free... she gave me a scarf to go with it, with the purchase,
That's sweet.
We had a nice little chat about the places she likes to go take pictures. And
did you take any photos there?
Not in there. No, I did not. Well, sometimes you take them, sometimes
you
don't.
You know what,
oops,
Joanne?
That was the high cost there.
I think Joanne did a nice piece in it, either on the blog or on Good Morning Gloss or Joanne
yes,
Silva.
I think
so.
Joanne Silva did.
Yeah. So you can find a link.
Yeah,
great.
You can find a link to back to Melissa's store.
Design.
Right.
Everybody was in a good
design of mine,
okay.
And she's a lovely lady, and she also designs the jewelry as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Does she?
Yeah.
Wow, awesome.
And we went down to Animal.
Yeah.
Crackers.
Animal
well,
crackers.
We were, it's making us sound like we went, you
yeah,
know, back
like,
and forth. But
you doing
well,
that?
No, we were not really. But we did go back occasionally to check to see, okay, what's the tree doing now? We did go into the Cape Ann auction place, and I don't
Fred
know.
Bowden's old place.
Yes,
yes,
exactly. And I saw. I felt like I wanted to do something with Fred somehow, so I bought one of the old pictures, and it's one of the Rockport Santa arrivals picture. Because I thought,
really?
Well, if I have this.
Oh,
and
right.
I get the new one, then
yeah,
forgetting
right.
I wasn't going to be here that day. But Walt there told me that he thought the picture had been taken in the 1960s. It wasn't labeled as such, but it appeared to be probably, you know, maybe
yeah,
about
right.
the right time there as a guess. But now I have this picture, and it makes me feel, I don't know, it's a little shout out to Fred. I
oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's got a cabinet in the back room. And it's all Fred's photos, and it's all down to a cabinet.
Yeah.
So
we had a great day.
Yeah.
What's that's Walt Kalenda's place,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
What was the name
yes.
of it again?
I think it's called Cape Ann Auctions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right next, it's right by Bananas.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
Bananas.
No, I know.
Yeah, we're Fred. Yeah, we had a great day.
Yep,
yeah,
just walking up and down, popping in all the different stores, and it really got crowded. I mean, I would say by...
But everybody was in a good mood.
And
a
lot of
people
were around.
A lot of people
were
out, yes.
It was festive. It was
really
festive.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good word for it. Yeah.
Seriously, all they
great
needed
day.
Was music piped in. You know, if...
And they could do that.
They, if they piped in music, I'm
yeah.
not trying to keep pounding that theme, but if they piped it in the streets while you're going down there,
yeah,
it
really
would have definitely
idea.
Put you in.
That is a good
we
idea.
Could have had a,
really
we could have broken into a flash mob.
You
maybe
yeah.
some of us could go in.
You
see
how hurtful it can be?
See,
no.
you could have music at like three different you could have it like
yeah.
queued up three different state, you know, West End, East End.
I love how Vigilio's pipes out the
yeah,
music.
I love that
oh,
too.
That's
awesome.
I love that.
That's awesome.
I still have time to sing along with some of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I love that.
I should put my hat out there.
I was down. I just missed you. I did a little Facebook Live thing.
Yeah.
Doing a little
we
bit more.
Yeah.
We
just missed each other. Yeah.
We just missed each other. We went down there early on. Do a shout out to Safathia, who I and Sebastian Pizza, I think, sponsored like four pizzas for the people that put the
aww.
Tree together.
Yeah.
They were working hard.
They're full. Ed can talk, speak
Ed,
to how much
long,
work that
long
is.
Long history with that tree.
Yeah.
Long
yeah.
history with that tree.
I came up my Facebook thing today, and I should have shared it from 8 years ago, you know, and I just texted back and forth with Jeff. I didn't make a broadcast, so it was just him and I. And the year I'll never forget was the year we almost gave up. We had
sleep
the tree
nice.
Up. I mean, and we used to collect old traps. Paul Morrison did a small reference to this. We go, and we were lucky if we're getting 20 here, 15 there, 30 there. Dig them out of the snow. I mean, wet, cold, crumbling, falling apart. But Jeff and I, we had the tree all built, and we're up there putting on lights. I think it was the first year we did lights. And we're on the back side of the tree, and freezing rain. It was one of the few times I actually took a tub when I got home. I filled it with water, and I just sunk in there to the bone. But we're looking at each other and says, you know, does anybody really give a shit anymore about this type of thing? And we're bemoaning the fact that we're getting drenched, nobody's there to help, and all this stuff. And these two old ladies are coming up. I mean, we peeked around, and they did have walkers. I mean, they were really old. And then we heard one of them say, you know, I look forward to this every year. These young people put this to, you know.
Oh,
and both of us looked at each other and said, okay, see you next year. And it was one of those moments that, you know, you're so going downhill, the weather's beating you up, and
They got a gorgeous day. So the polar opposite of what Ed just described is what they had yesterday, because they had brand new uniform traps with no bougie sticking out of them to get cut on. They had like 50 degree sunny weather, mild.
Yeah,
and well, I mean, it's still a lot of work.
But
some years, it is the wind is coming sideways and it's sleeting. And it's like
that alleyway.
Yeah.
Right? Boom.
Yeah.
Smack you upside the kisser. Mm-hmm.
But everybody loves that tree. Yeah. You should see some. Did you look at some of the shares on the Facebook shares and on those posts yesterday?
Yeah.
They
I
were
did.
Up
yeah.
there. There yep. people love that.
And it was
tree.
Well documented. I saw three cameras set up.
Yeah. Who?
And one.
Well, that was
I think it was John Cooney, right?
Oh, okay.
I think Sean Henry did too. He was setting up cameras.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sean Henry.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Catherine's husband.
Catherine's husband.
Yeah.
Saw her yesterday.
Yeah, they were there working all
day. Yeah.
And Ken's photo from the top.
Ken Hecht, from his place.
Love the one from the top.
That
yeah.
was great. We have a shout out to Three Lanterns. I just talked to David, and Brooks Trap Company makes the traps, but Three Lanterns is the one who supplies the traps for this year for the lobster trap tray.
Just beautiful.
In a green with red escape vents. So it's very, like right in the theme. It looks gorgeous.
They look like ornaments.
Now, we used to trash Rockland for getting new traps, don't forget.
We used to trash Rockland for using
convicts.
Using convicts. But we used to trash them for using these huge bows, like the Chinese made bows. Like, that's all they had for decorations with these, like, huge.
But they were ahead of the curve as far as the lobstermen went. You remember, I was trying to get them to, you know, go into a lottery system as far as the traps go years ago.
Yeah.
And the one thing they did have over us is they did, the lobstermen all sponsored. By putting in ahead of time, I'll buy 50 traps. I'll buy these. They're gonna buy them anyway.
Right.
You know. So when they had that again, they had that on us, but we trash talked them. Somebody was really loud. Somebody was very loud.
Yeah, we used to eat them up alive. Yeah,
oh well, my God!
All in good fun, but some people like didn't get the tongue in cheek. You know.
No, none are like ours. The handmade.
The boobies.
The handmade.
Over the top.
You know.
I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of kids. Each have their part
their
of that
own,
tree.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that was the year. In fact, I remind Jeff, even though he didn't probably like the reference, I says, "You remember whose idea it was to turn this over?" Jeff and I had already suffered, and I says, "It was Leslie's idea." I says, "She was there with Bruce Tarr and Kirk.
Leslie
Gould, his ex-wife."
Oh.
And he says, "Well, you could have gone without reference." I says, "Hey, she's part of the history of the tree, whether you like it or not."
There you go.
So they'll be auctioned off, is my understanding. So when does the I didn't see when the auction takes place or how that happens. Or, you know. Okay.
It's usually right after it comes down. They set up over at Cruise Port.
Okay.
And they're awesome to, you know, Hot Haven as well. And they took the best ones. And then, of course, there's always
fun talking about the,
rivalry.
I think she's talking about the traps,
the
not the buoys.
Oh, yeah,
no.
I don't know when that's
going. Oh, they are
going
to. Oh, okay. You did see. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. That's what the woman who was helping told me yesterday, that they were going to be auctioned off.
That's pretty wild. Yeah, because those traps are not cheap.
No.
They're a lot
nice.
Of money. My day yesterday, after I left there, I went to, and I'm so thankful that I went there, because I didn't realize how beautiful of a room it is. 9 Wallace in Beverly. Peter and Vicky Van Ness and Mayer tickets so that my kids could go see this. It was like a magic / comedy show with a Christmas theme, kind of. And Bryson Lang was the guy who played. But so Safathia invited me to go. And it was sad. You know when you have 3 kids in the house at varying ages? And you're like, we got to have a plan.
Right.
I can't sit inside the house all day long. We will, you know, there's going to be a murder, right? Yeah. So we, so I'm like, oh, you know, we got invited to go to this thing. Let's do it. Okay. Then after I agreed to go, I looked at the flyer and they said like Santa's going to be there. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm scratching my head like, I don't know if this is going to be like my kids are a little bit older and is it going to be a little kitschy for them? And is it going to be just murder for me to sit through 2 hours of some like, you know, thing that's really intended for grade schoolers?
Young kids.
But we got there and this entertainer, Bryson Lang, the whole crowd was laughing and completely entertained, start to finish.
So the kids liked it very much.
The kids liked it. And I would encourage, because they have like comedy shows and they have musicians there. I usually scroll past the music listings on the blog. Mm-hmm. And I am not going to be scrolling past them anymore because I am purposely going to look for an event at 9 Wallace, because it's an intimate room. It's really great, and they have beer and wine there, and it's not expensive. So I love comedy shows. So and it's not, we don't have to travel all the way to Kowloon's to go see it. So it has opened up my eyes to 9 Wallace, and I am going to be purposely looking for
great.
It's kind of like A&B Burger on Cabot Street.
Okay.
The next street is Wallace, going towards Salem. The next street, the next right is Wallace. And like when you make that corner, you'll see the sign for 9 Wallace, 9 Wallace Street.
Yeah,
beautiful, beautiful space. And thank you to them for hosting us, to Mayor Safathia and Peter and Vicky. And they had this. They had food there too. Like there was pizza. Rasta pizza was served. Really, they had pizza you could buy, and
not just popcorn and candy.
Not just popcorn. They had like some whoopie pies and popcorn. It was a win. It was a total winner.
Get a meal and dessert.
It was fantastic. Before we get off of the Lobster Trap tree, I want to say December 9th is the Middle Street Walk. Middle Street Walk folds in about 25 events that happen on the same day that we say every year. If you have children, even if you don't have children, it's a must attend.
I go by myself even.
You could absolutely go by yourself, and culminates with the Lobster Trap tree lighting at the end of the day. But actually after that, this year they have that the Harbor Voices event at City Hall.
Right after that. Or is it, I think it's playing during.
Right after.
I think it's something like, because I have that written down, because I want to check in on that. Yeah, and that's like the 8th and 9th, and it's something like 4:30 to 8. It's a little bit of an odd time slot. At least in my mind.
Right, so you can go to the lighting and then go right to City Hall.
That's right. In any case, the Universal Church, the Sergeant House, there's like, but at the Middle Street Walk, you could spend the day downtown Gloucester, and there are
about a dozen different places that open up, or they used to be.
They have their gingerbread competition. Those are all over City Hall.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
I have, so in the show notes of this podcast, there's a link to the schedule for the Middle Street Walk. I encourage everyone to go. And the Lobster Trap tree lighting is really fun. Really, really fun to
be at. Santa shows up, and there's always singing. You know, there is a sound system that night, usually.
It sounds like
we've always
had something.
A couple of years ago, they invited me to MC it, and there was like the Santa and his elves were there, and they were hammered.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of like, so they were
And everybody knows who these people are.
Really. And they want, and they were like, the guy, David's like, okay, I want you to do the countdown. But Santa didn't want to give up the mic. And I'm like, I don't really care. I don't have to do the countdown. And the Santa was like adamant, but David like really wanted me to do it for some reason. So it's like this power struggle.
Oh,
not between me, because I could care less, but my kids were there. And this drunk Santa. It was so funny.
That's a classic story.
It was so funny.
That's a classic story.
So yeah, it's a good time. Go ahead, what you mean?
No, I'm just saying because.
Oh, God. I wanted to mention this. December 9th at Feather and Wedge, there is a Bordeaux wine dinner. I'm going to give you the details of that.
So after you go the Middle Street Walk and
December
6th. Oh, December 6th. I was going to say if it's the 9th, then you could end up at Feather and Wedge.
No, they're still doing the ladies and the men's shopping night.
We have that. So Feather and Wedge on December 6th, it's a Wednesday night at 7 p.m., a four-course dinner and four Bordeaux cellar selections. Andrew Ehrlich of Wine Cask Imports. Is that Andrew the Wine Bear?
I don't know if it is.
I don't want to say that for sure, but it may be. But it sounds like a great take. Feather and Wedge on a normal night is a great take, and they always have a really special menu. This is going to be a no-brainer. Back to that. Ed, what did you mention? Ladies' Night is December 7th, which is Thursday, the day after Feather and Wedge. You have a busy week.
That's a busy week, yeah.
That's a good take, too.
Yeah. The downtown Gloucester has their own webpage, and they have a schedule of downtown Gloucester events.
Ladies' nights, because there's ladies.
Ladies' nights, men's night. They have all the different
friends and family night, or right? Don't they have that now too?
Hold on, I can open that link and read off a little bit. Okay, we're gonna start from November 26th. What tree lighting is tonight? Oh, the Kent Circle tree lighting
is
tonight.
Tonight.
By the time this is, it's at 3 p.m. So but if you're listening to this, go down and check out the tree light. The tree, it's probably going to be lit up.
It's all lit up.
At Kent Circle. December 7th, 44th Annual Ladies Night. December 14th, Customer Appreciation Night. I don't know what that is. I wonder if that has to do with, maybe they're lumping the men's night in with Customer Appreciation Night. December 9th, Middle Street Walk. December 9th, also Family and Friends Day, downtown Gloucester. The Lobster Pot tree lighting as well, Middle Street Walk. December 21st is men's night. I see why they do that.
Yeah, that's late.
Last minute.
Exactly. Okay. Why.
And smart. Also, I think is the 21st, because Christmas is the 25th.
Yeah.
So is that
right.
a Thursday or a Friday
night?
That's
going to
be
December 23rd. Just in time shopping.
Let's see.
Thursday, I think.
A Thursday night. Yeah.
I think they do them all on, but whatever it is, it's December 21st. So don't get confused. That's for the last minute men's night. Where am I?
Yeah, my brother-in-law shops on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. I don't call that.
I just write to Elgin.
I call that smart
shopping. I used to drive up to Elgin for Christmas Eve. They had great deals with stuff that I was interested in buying for people.
Yes, everything's like deeply discounted.
It's discounted, you know. Yeah.
And this year it's on a weekend, so that's going to be huge.
Right, that'll be a Sunday night.
Yeah.
I'll be shopping in Key West this year again.
Oh, look at you. Oh, are you going someplace where. Do you know where you're going? Is intact?
Oh,
yeah.
I have quite a few places that I know. I'll be in Florida for the winter. I go to Everglades.
Oh,
I run into a mess of seniors down there. I'm the baby of the group.
He loves it down there.
I have a blast down there. We have a party and a half. There's about 30 of us strong. And the food, which of course I die for anyway, and the company and the knowledge. Because everybody brings something different to the table.
Yeah.
You know, I've got this couple that knows every insect, tree, you name it. You go for a nature hike with them, you're going to get something out
of it. Oh,
you know?
Wonderful.
And everybody's of a like spirit, you know.
Yeah.
We have people with $500,000 mobile homes and people like me with a tent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes the whole mixture.
Nice, nice.
But my son's down in Key West, so I'll be down there expecting a second grandchild out of them. In February, so I'll be down there for.
Congratulations!
Thanks. I'm having a blast with the grandkids.
There you go. I wanted to do a shout out to Ron Gilson, and I'm happy. I was very happy because his film, when they showed it publicly, was not at an optimal time for probably 90% of the people. His film, it's on YouTube. We put it on the blog. I stickied it for 3 or 4 days.
Yes.
It's not stickied anymore, but you can search Gloucester's Golden Age of Fishing Part 2. And
is Part 1 on YouTube also?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
All right. I imagine it is, but okay. I'm not sure. But we have the link is in the show notes.
That's great that it's up for people.
Is he going to have other screen? Are there any other screenings scheduled that you know?
I told him he really ought to, but so far I don't know of any.
Oh, okay.
I don't know of any. Kim, speaking of movies, you went to see Coco at Gloucester Cinema.
Yes.
And you thought it was a beautiful story.
Beautifully done. See, we went with my daughter, who is not a big moviegoer. You know, we talked about this before. That generation doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, because Kate doesn't go to movies.
And so we were, you know, a little bit worried, but but she loved it too. Tom loved it. It's beautifully done. Very authentic.
It's a Dia de Muerto kind of theme, right?
So the story, I'll just say a little bit of the story so we don't give it away, but it's about a little boy who wants to be a musician. His family doesn't want to be a musician. He goes through a dream where he ends up in the land of the dead. And most of the story takes place there, and he meets his ancestors, and it's just very... The colors and the cinematography—not the animation.
The animation,
right?
Pixar.
It's very—it's so culturally authentic, and it's been very, very well received in Mexico. It's been the number one selling movie. It was just released here in the U.S. over Thanksgiving, but it was released in Mexico over the Day of the Dead celebrations, and it's been the number one movie in Mexico for over a month.
The Day of the Dead. It seems to me in the past 3 or 4 years has become a big culture, big thing in the United States.
Yeah.
Because the Kimberleys have a party every year.
I would agree, yeah.
I never even knew what it was about. And then all of a sudden, like that, the iconic skull, you know, with all the flowers coming out or whatever. I wonder if that was a spawn of, remember Ed Hardy? Ed Hardy jeans and Ed Hardy...
Oh, yeah.
It was very popular in Las Vegas, and
no, I'm thinking of somebody else.
But Ed Hardy was a designer,
yeah.
A jeans designer, I believe. But used that Dia de Muerte like logo.
He did all the skulls. Is he the one who did all the white skulls on everything? Is that Richard?
He did a lot of skulls, but it was like.
How long ago?
I want to say it was like 6 years ago. Okay. But I almost want to say he touched off the, and I could be way off base, but the first recognition of this icon was Ed Hardy had it on a lot of the t-shirts and everything else. And that was about 6 or 7 years ago.
Well, they started creating this film about 6 years ago. So that's how long it takes to bring an animated film. I mean, even before that, but the filmmakers started traveling to Mexico about 6 years ago just to make sure that they got it, you know, very authentically, culturally accurate. That was really, really important to them.
I wonder if the guy from Rockport that was involved with Nemo.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't know his name, but I know that I know of his story. Yeah. I mean, that he.
I wonder if he is still involved with Pixar.
Because
Pixar is like, it's like enormous.
I wonder if he was involved in Nemo. Isn't there a Nemo 2 coming out?
Yeah.
I thought that there was a Nemo 2.
Yeah.
Coming out.
Has it already come out?
I thought there was one already.
I have no idea.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I can't imagine that if you're involved in that, you wouldn't necessarily.
You wouldn't be able to,
because it takes.
I don't think you could get more than one project at a time. Yeah.
Right, an animated film like that.
I suppose depending on
the guy. Okay, so Andrew Stanton was his name, and he is an American film director who's born in '65, so he's a couple of years older than me, and voice actor based at Pixar. His work includes writing and directing Pixar A Bug's Life. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was Bug's Life, Finding Nemo. I'm going to go to his... what else? Let's see. Toy Story, Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay for Toy Story 3, directed the sequel to Finding Nemo, Finding Dory, which was released in 2016.
Okay.
So it was,
last year.
But wow, he is...
what a player.
I guess he is. He's still... So he is. And look, his credits... 2019 Toy Story 4.
Oh, so that's what he's working on.
God there. Almighty, he is doing all right.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, he has credits in Stranger Things, which is
the new show.
Big that was cool. Netflix.
That's big in Netflix. This guy's doing well. Born in Rockport. Andrew Stanton. God bless you, buddy. I wonder if he has roots. I mean, I know he has roots here. I wonder if he has
family.
I mean, if he's doing anything.
Still has family here.
He's the vice president of creativity at Pixar.
Wow. How would you like to be the vice president of creativity somewhere?
Anywhere.
Yeah. I'm the vice president of creativity.
And he directed two episodes of the second season of Stranger Things.
Okay.
Stranger Things right now is big, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. My daughter...
The whole thing.
Huh? Yeah.
I just watched it from the beginning all the way.
Did?
I think I told Erica it was 9 hours of watching Stranger Things.
Would I enjoy it?
I think so.
Yeah?
You have to start at the beginning.
Okay.
You really do.
But, I might check it out.
I enjoyed it.
Our son keeps trying to talk us into watching it, and I just can't make myself do it yet.
I was stuck sitting down anyway.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Yeah. And I haven't watched TV in a couple of years, really. So I'm there. This is cool.
Yeah.
You know, so I caught up on all kinds of TV. And Netflix is definitely the go-to.
Oh,
my
definitely.
God.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
good TV, and you got
such good programming.
You got an unbelievable selection. No matter what you like, you're gonna find something.
And it's become a verb.
Yeah, it's true.
So you know that tells you something about it.
That's
it's like Xerox.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or Kleenex.
Used to be. Yeah, it's true.
All right, I'm putting him into the show notes because I'm putting a link to his Wikipedia page. Check out the link in the podcast notes because it's very interesting. If he was around. I'd like to get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
He might have his plate a little full directing episodes.
Yeah,
but you never know. He might have love for Kate Bannon coming on the podcast.
He might need a lobster character.
We get Israel Horowitz. So.
I know. We had Mr. Hall, Brad Hall.
Right, Brad Hall.
We have big people.
Yeah.
Anybody from Rockport that knows Mr. Andrew Stanton?
Yes.
If you could reach out to him and say, you know, maybe a little give back to the community, come in on the podcast, that we're big fans, and we would love that. So there you go. Right?
Right.
All right. And also, go see Coco at Gloucester Cinema. Kim, you went to see Darlene Love.
We went to see her last night.
At the Cabot.
Yes, it was phenomenal. I mean, her voice... It would be hard to tell her recordings from the 1960s because the album that she recorded with Phil Spector is the greatest selling Christmas album of all time, I think. So she sang many of the songs on the album as a lead, but also as a backup singer because she's more famous now than she was then because she was just a backup singer back then. And she had a lot of songs attributed to other people that she actually sang. And
Letterman kind of put her on the map because every year, didn't he have her in to sing the song?
He had her sing Baby Please Come Home. So he had gone to a show with Paul Schaefer. This was in the early 80s, and a Christmas show playing in New York. And then he said he invited her to be on the show. And she hadn't done the film yet about backup singers yet. So I think he really did, you know, for 27 years she was on his show singing. But her room just filled the theater. It was unbelievable.
Was it a Christmas show then?
Yeah, it's a Christmas show. Beautiful. There's rock songs. There's a couple... four or five songs from the Phil Spector Christmas album. There's regular traditional Christmas songs. There's a lot of gospel. She has a fabulous backup singer, fabulous band. Her voice just filled the room. It was beautiful.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, you and she's 76. And if you listen to a recording of her singing on the Phil Spector album, and listen to just what I got on my phone last night. It would be hard to tell the difference.
Wow.
Kim, there's a video.
Her voice is so powerful.
There's a video, Kim. They posted it yesterday.
Of
Darlene Love the Cabot performing live November 7th. This can't be.
Was it from last year? Because I think this is the third year that she sung there.
Oh, click link. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
Was it from this year?
I don't know. I think it's a scam, this link, so I'm not going to post it.
Okay.
Just click the link in the description to. Yeah, it's
that's
too bad.
There's a lot of those weird scammy things I've been finding when I'm looking up things. That's too bad.
People take advantage.
It was phenomenal. She is 76. And she's out. She's
well, just
fit.
To do that.
She's
kinda.
Fit and trim, and she's out on the stage wearing 4 to 5 inch spike heel shoes, dancing. And you're like, what?
Well, she's been on the circuit because it was she was a backup singer.
She was
her voice, I mean, there was no mistaking who it was.
Right.
It was on TV recently.
She was a backup singer. So, for example, this is one story. Like, with Baby Please Come Home, I think that's, well, she did Rebel, you know what I mean? A rebel and he's
I got Fiona, it's the same. She's on the talk circuit right now.
Yeah, she, and especially at this time of year, like, she'll sing on The View, I think now. Now, instead of singing on David Letterman, they've invited her to come and sing on The View every year. And, but she did so many songs that, I mean, she sang backup for so many people.
And even if you don't know her name or anything, as soon as she opens her mouth,
you recognize
that
song. No, that's a classic for sure.
You know it is. I mean, I can cue up my little thing there if you want to keep on talking.
I'll put a link to it.
Okay. All right. But I recorded her last night singing. So,
oh, you did?
Yeah, just a little bit of
it. Now, is it legit to do that?
Well, you can just hear it. We're not gonna get arrested.
I took my son to see BB King.
You know what? Can you do me a favor? Can you not do it? The reason why on YouTube, if they think that something's sampled, they put a mark on your YouTube.
I know he was old.
And that's how I upload.
Oh, you know he's old, but he still brought a show.
He was a great show.
I love BB King.
I wanted to mention the Snowy Owl. I was talking you.
Yes.
You mentioned this last week to me, and we got distracted. But my Kate's dad is a security, is the main guy that does security at Crane Beach, and he has told me that there are
snowy owls
at Crane
already.
And
awesome.
You mentioned that there's all the signs are in place. Why don't you explain?
Okay, So when there's a species that suddenly you see a lot of them, it's called an eruption. And sometimes the reasons are explainable and sometimes they're not. But it's spelled IRR, not eruption, but eruption. And it looks like all the signs are pointing to a snowy owl eruption this year. And the main reason is because when about every 4 or 5 years, tons of lemmings are born in the Arctic. So when there's tons of lemmings born, which is the main food of the snowy owl, then that helps all the babies survive. So instead of, you know, one or two babies surviving in a clutch, you know, 5, 6, 7 will survive because there's plenty of food to feed the babies.
Oh, right.
But then come winter, a lot of these young snowy owls aren't as keen as hunting as the adults are, and there's much less food around, so that's when they start migrating southward. So all these signs are in place right now to have a great snowy owl eruption this year. So
what was the last, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago, because time flies right now, but we had a year not too long ago where people were seeing.
So 2 years ago when I filmed the snowy owl out here, that wasn't a super eruption. That was just...
So you're saying we're going to see more than that?
Yeah, because it was almost 4 years ago. I think it was 4 years when we had a super eruption. And you know how you can tell? Like, I talked to this guy who does snowy owl. He's created a snowy owl mission. He's at Mass Audubon in the MS Audubon in Canton. I can't think of the name of it. But he's the one who mostly rescues the snowy owls at airports and re-releases them on local beaches. So I've been trying to get him to release an owl on Wingersheek Beach because they mostly release the owls on South Shore beaches. But so, I mean, on South Shore and also north of us. So I thought, well, we're right in between. We could release one on Wingersheek Beach. It would be wonderful for our community. Mm. And so he has all the numbers from year to year. And they can mostly, and how you judge whether it's an extra good, is how many are end up at the airports. Mm. Because that's, airports are one of their favorite places to land. There's, I guess there's a lot of, because there's so many flat fields, you know, there's a lot of mice and voles running around, and that's what they want to hunt. So that's what they're hunting on the beach as
well.
I wish
there was and you know how they have the Monarch migration app?
Right.
That people could report, and then you could see, kind of track
sightings? Well, there are, but it's just for like one or two, you know, the ones that they put the trackers on the snowy owls. There are ways of but they're not like they're
do
not
they
like
have,
the
are there trackers? There's ones that show where like the shark tracker, the snowy owl tracker.
Yeah, there's. I mean, I don't know if it's like the app thing that you're talking about, but they do track snowy owls.
Snowy owl tracker. I'm gonna look it up right now.
Okay. So anyway, so what they're eating here is all the little mice and but also one thing that we learned. 2 years ago when the snowy owl was on the lobster traps is that they're also very attracted to the little birds that like to eat what's the stuff that you call that hangs off lobster traps?
The barnacles
and all the crusty things so that attracts little sparrows,
mm-hmm.
which then attracts the snowy owls, which also attracts peregrine falcons and hawks and things like that.
Yeah, circle goes on.
Yeah.
There's a great website, projectsnowstorm.org/trackingsnowyowls, and it's some really cool maps with from the tracking and stuff like that.
I think I posted links to that on a previous snowy owl post.
Awesome.
Is there any current one that they're tracking right now?
I don't know. I don't want maps. New England.
Can you tell from that?
I don't want to mess up. All right. I don't want to distract us. But I'm going to just put a link to this, and we'll do some more. Kim, I'm sure you're going to be reporting on it. So just stay tuned for our snowy owl.
Let us know. Anybody who sees a snowy owl, let us know, and I'll drop everything and run over with my movie camera.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I love it. Kim, Anthony, you want to talk about Anthony Bourdain is doing on
he's
CNN.
Did,
he has a show called, what is it called?
Parts Unknown.
Yeah.
And who's seen that? I mean, I just think it's an awesome show.
Yeah.
It's on every week, and he goes to beautiful or interesting countries all around the world. But the thing is that he just delves so deeply into it. It's not...
It's not just the eating and cooking.
It's the music.
Aspect.
It's the cultural. Whether it's like, you know, when he goes to the Mississippi Delta, he's listening to, you know, going to nightclubs with music. And, you know, it's a lot of grungy type of places that they go to, but with fabulous food. They're not going to the five-star restaurants. They're cooking in people's kitchens, visiting families' homes. And the cinematography is...
I've been watching him for about 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
I love his show.
The cinematography, I think, is extraordinary, too. I mean, the way the shows are edited and filmed, it's beautiful.
Well, he's got such a nice laid-back attitude that you would invite him in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So this week is Southern Italy. And I don't know if he's going to revisit Sicily, because he did do a show on Sicily a couple of years ago. I don't know if he's including that in it or not.
Heel of the Boot. The Heel of the Boot, legendary, largely untouched landscapes and colorful locals of southern Italy. Tonight at 9 and tomorrow at, what is that? Oh, Monday, 12 a.m. So they're going to replay it, I guess?
Oh,
an
that's
hour.
Interesting. Huh.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I didn't know. Well, I'm not watching TV during the day, so I don't know. That's interesting.
It's on CNN, so I wonder if you can get that on... wonder if there's Netflix cameras.
Have you ever seen the show? I mean, it's really,
you know, I've seen Anthony Bourdain shows. I have not. I don't think that I've seen Parts Unknown.
Yeah,
I may have, but you know how like it was Andrew Zimmerman and him, and but I thought that that was on the Food Network.
I see Bizarre Foods.
But you know what? Way off.
It was there was some crossover between the two shows, though, it seemed, because Andrew Zimmerman would get a little into local culture of these places where you'd eat the gross food.
Well, he started with the cultural aspect first before Bourdain did, really. Bourdain was still getting hammered when Zimmerman was really getting into the local foods, no matter how disgusting they were.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, they both woke up, it seemed, at the same time. Zimmerman started getting away from the bizarre foods and more into the cultural aspect, as well as Bourdain.
It seemed like that was the case.
Well,
I didn't know a lot
of
it.
The show's beautifully produced. And
Southern Italy is something I'd be interested in seeing.
Yeah, I think that's why I mentioned
We couldn't figure out. Kim and I were both trying to dissect, like, when they talked about Southern Italy, and it really doesn't say it in the notes.
Yeah.
Are they talking... It said the heel of the boot, though, so maybe that does give some description.
That isn't the Amalfi Coast.
So that's not the Amalfi Coast. Right. That's
so
right.
That's Calabria. Is it? I don't know how to pronounce it. Calabria. Calabria. Is that how you
I thought
say
it was Calabria, but
yeah.
Who knows?
I'll
Calabria.
Go with your knowledge.
There you go.
Being a Yankee in the room. I'll bow to the Italian.
Well, we just had a discussion about pecans versus pecans.
What do you go with?
I say pecans.
Yeah, me
although
too.
When I'm down south, I can catch myself going a little more for pecans.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a because I grew up saying pecans, so I don't.
In your,
what do you say?
You also
York.
Say in your what's her name? The lady, the French chef.
Oh, Julia Child?
In your Julia Child's voice. You say,
pecans. Of course, she's got the glass of wine going too at the same time.
Yeah,
I don't talk.
Depends how much I had to drink, I think. Yeah.
So how do you say it in New York?
I would say most New Yorkers probably say pecans.
Pecans, yeah. Because in New York, you also say carrot, right?
Carrot?
Oh, okay.
Is there another way?
No.
Yes.
Apparently.
New York has the upstate,
apparently.
And they got the Long Island and
right.
the city. You
right.
know, hey, what are you looking at?
The upstate one is the one I was thinking, where they put that harsh A on
there. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they have soda.
On the cooking shows, though, I was watching, with our course cooking, the chef's table. And they have dozens and dozens and dozens of chefs that, you know, they bring into different parts of the world and how they're cooking. And it re-entered for me. I do a lot of campfire cooking anyway, but they were digging the pits and doing all that sort of thing. I'm thinking, holy shit, I know what I'll be doing this winter, you know? I'm going to make an oven out there because I love making my breads and stuff like that. So now this year, I'll be bringing that to the Everglades. I'll be digging in and making my own oven.
Ed, do you use cast iron? What do you use for...
I like cast iron, but for practicality, I mean, it's just too heavy to carry around.
Yeah.
You know, so I use a lot of the nonstick. I showed you one of the stoves. It's almost like a wok that I use. It's a frying pan, wok combination.
Is it Teflon coated?
It's Teflon coated.
Yeah.
I prefer cast.
Yeah.
You know, all around, but it's just too heavy to, you know...
In a perfect world...
Yeah.
You could have the time... and space to use cast iron.
Yeah.
In my house,
yeah.
That's all
and
I
care
had.
For. Probably.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The pots, I had everything. All Griswold, I've introduced the name to Eric. And all Griswold was the brand name. And I had, you know, everything from 3 quarts down onto even little specialty items that make cornbread, the shape of corn.
Yeah, wow.
And little heart things. I mean, I got into it. It was one of my hidden secrets nobody knew about, you know.
I think our cast iron frying pan is the most used frying pan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
I'm so jealous.
I feel they're $25 for a
It isn't
month.
That. It isn't about that. It's I'm down here, and I don't get a chance to cook.
Well, once
them.
You see right. someone, you're fine down here with it. You really are.
To clean it, though, Ed.
You have to clean it. You don't do the soap and suds and all that stuff.
Not with cast iron.
Once you've got that seasoned...
This is okay. I'm going to give you my scenario and correct. And I'm sure you can correct me. I'm waiting for you to correct me. So I cook on the grill, charcoal, The thing is really super hot,
yeah,
right? And then there's the fat and stuff like that. And I don't have, so once I'm done cooking, I need to eat it right away.
Right.
And yeah, so it sits on there, and whatever oils are in there don't get like a nice seasoning oil. They get like a burnt oil.
Oh.
Like a dark
fire.
What?
You have to take it off the fire.
How am I going to take it off the fire?
You take it off your fire.
How do you take off this 25-pound thing off a thing? You're not going to grab it with your hand.
You look at those damn lobster traps, you take it out with your muscles.
But you
how do you hold it?
With a pot holder. Those UV gloves. That's what I use all the time. You know what those UV gloves are?
Yeah.
That's all. UV gloves are super.
And then what do you do with it?
Well, if you can't eat it right away, I cover it all in foil so that it's cooling down, but not cooling down fast. You still have a hot meal when you're ready for it.
And then what do you do with the hot pot?
Take the hot pan.
Cold water.
Put it off to the side.
I can't put it in cold water. I don't have fresh water.
You don't have fresh water. Put the hot pan off to the side. Right? Let it sit and cool down for a little bit. And then because the pan is seasoned, you can typically wipe everything out when it's slightly cooled down.
I think that I understand from what you're saying where my failure in my process is. I need to have some. I need to have some silicone gloves or something that I can grab the hot pot and then take it off and put it aside. So then I can. So it doesn't get nasty burn.
You know how a cast iron pan has the handle. Well, it usually has a little rectangular
lip on the other side.
On the other side. So because it's so heavy to hold, like for me, I can't flip. I can't flip omelets in it.
Yeah.
So, but you use that. You take your pair of gloves. They really work on cast iron. And then you grab both and put it on a cooler. So you grab it from both ends and put it on a cooler place.
Okay, now I got it. Okay, so that's going to be my process.
And if it's really bad, I'll use some cold water. And you know those, I call them copper pads?
Yeah.
You know, there's no soap involved or anything.
Right,
I'll just give it a good swish and a good rinse. And then I use the paper towel and dry it off.
You could definitely have a cast iron pan.
Oh, for sure.
Every time I have it, I just, all right. Well
just try it. They're $25.
I have them. I have several of them. It's just look, see that right there? Right next to my chimney?
Yeah.
There's a cast iron thing. But it's got like burnt oil in the bottom of it.
Get any bites on the Patriots cooker?
Come on, we'll take it home and clean it up and try to take it home, clean it up, reseason it, and then try cleaning it when it's not like totally caked in.
Do you season them in the oven at all? You know how to season those pots and those pans?
Yeah, you put the oil, bacon. I usually use bacon. The first time I ever cook with one of those, I put bacon in it.
Yeah, bacon's right.
Because the bacon fat.
Right.
And that's good bacon.
I got bacon. Thank you, Eric Lorden, for my bacon, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and the ribs.
That looks yum. Oof.
There you go.
I've been eating like a frog. Oh my God.
He's taking care. All right, we're at an hour, 2 minutes, and 46 seconds. The Gloucester Cast 253 is in the books. Thank you guys for coming.
Well done.